Whether in Buffalo Gap or Buffalo Springs, Fort Belknap or Fort Chadburn, or Sweetwater or Sweet Home, for the news of Texas, the source is Pratt on Texas. Here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, the Texas Department of Public Safety launches an internal investigation over its officers' actions or non-actions at the Uvalde school massacre. And, I covered a lot of the big report that's out yesterday. There's more coming on that. Today, though, a serious question is this. Why are so many in our society hostile to the idea of effective self-defense to murderous action? You know, they really go crazy. You know, of course, innocent children, we're just so sickened by that. And yet you see constant things about, oh my gosh, arming teachers, how terrible that would be. Or, you know, it's not just teachers, it's everything. They're hostile. Why are so many hostile to the idea of effective self-defense to murderous action, even when we know beyond question that when seconds count, police, even effective police, are minutes away? It really does open a question into even their view of the sanctity of life and humanity to begin with, even their own. I mean, why would you want to give up your ability to defend your life? Well, we know that many liberals are hypocrites on this, that they have armed security, they have firearms of their own. They always get caught with this stuff, and they'll keep a gun in the house but say they're against guns. We know this. But there are so many publicly that will just go on and on about it. And the question is why. I want to talk about this and how they're taking offense at the term Good Samaritan, and they don't like any examples given like what happened in the mall in Indiana. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. Truckers and fleet owners, Allied Compliance Services is your best friend in compliance with Department of Transportation testing regulations. Reach the best in compliance at AlliedCompliance.com. I've got a big announcement, my friends. The big annual Hunter's Banquet and Auction from the Lubbock Sportsman's Club, a Dallas Safari Club chapter, the inaugural in this whole world Dallas Safari Club chapter, is coming up. The big annual Hunter's Banquet and Auction always used to be around Texas Independence Day, and then last year, due to the COVID pushbacks, we moved it to the end of August and just set more records and even went in a larger hall. We'd been full for years, but wanted to keep it in the nicer hall, but decided there's just so many people that want to come, we had to go into a larger hall in the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center, and still set more records last year. So we're doing it again this year on the 27th of August. And two big announcements. One, tickets are now available for sale at the website, which you can just link to from prattontexas.com, or go to it directly if you so choose. It is Lubbock Sportsman, LubbockSportsman.com, and that's Sportsman, M-A-N, LubbockSportsman, M-A-N.com. Tickets are available for tables and sponsorships and all that, but an even bigger announcement is one of our guests who's going. We don't do speech and stuff. You don't get speechified at these. Tried that years ago. It's just everybody's having too much of a good time with open bar and lots of hors d'oeuvres and fantastic food from the local chefs de cuisine. It's their fundraiser for all the top chefs in the area and all of that, and they cook for us. It's just so much fun, and it's so bigger, more guns, even bigger and better guns, and of course our auction catalog for luxury trips and hunts locally, regionally, and around the world is one of the best in the country, and it's even better this year. I've been told that the quality of the firearms and even more, it's always been most of you have never been to an event this big. I remind you, even before the chapter changed its affiliations, we were generally one of the top five of these local banquets in the entire United States. This is a really big deal, Lubbock. There'll be people from all over coming. New Mexico, there'll be folks from other sportsman club chapters from around the country coming. It always happens. Big announcement, though, coming up. Texas Congressman Dr. Ronnie Jackson raises question about Biden's mental health capacity. You probably saw stories on that. he keeps talking about that the guy's has lost it. Said he didn't just senile. His handlers have to give him step-by-step instructions for every single thing he does. And of course, he's a former physician to presidents, and the left doesn't like him. And he's talked a lot of it about this. He's out of, you know, the feds are trying to push this new COVID strain. Oh, even though, by the way, despite what you're hearing about BA.5 from Fauci and them, David Montefiore, a professor at Human Vaccine Institute at Duke University Medical Center, told NBC News there is no evidence, meaning zero evidence, that the newest variant's more or less likely to make people sick or cause severe illness or death. And Ronnie Jackson there, our great Dr. Ronnie Jackson, former admiral in our Navy, physician to presidents, who's not afraid to take these people on, tweeted, as predicted, here comes the midterm variant. Better get those unsolicited mail-in ballots and the Zuckerberg ballot boxes ready to go. Well, he tears them up. He ain't going to be speechifying you, but he's going to be there at the Hunter's Banquet and Auction. Ronnie Jackson, Dr. Ronnie Jackson, Texas 13 congressman. Not going to have to get speechified. I think he has a book coming out, so hopefully he'll be selling and signing his book. That's not really... all the details. I mean, he didn't say, oh, I want to come and sell my book. We're been trying to get him there. I know that Tim Gafford and the board's worked real hard on this, and he's just great. So Ronnie Jackson will be at the Sportsman's Club, Lubbock Sportsman's Club annual Hunter's Banquet and Auction. It is one of the biggest, most successful of its type in the country. And for all you hunters and people like me who've bought a bunch of luxury trips out of this thing, I want you to understand something. Not only is it one of the best auction books in the country for an event like this, and much larger than most you've ever been to, we made a decision years ago, the members. We're not doing so many of the other chapters have an online one. So you, even though you buy the ticket, you show up and do all this, and you're part of the deal, you're competing with people all over the country and world for these fantastic hunts, which sometimes are very unique and not available anywhere else. There are relationships between Dallas Safari Club and our individual chapter and even chapter members. That's why we've had, remember, some of these folks from Africa have come over just to talk at our small chapter meetings, the free meetings. I mean, there are serious relationships here. These things aren't available everywhere. And we don't think it's right that you ought to have to compete with other people. So our auction is done live right there in the building. My friends, there's silent auctions, all that too. But the big stuff, it's done live, and you're not competing online with other people. And we're proud of that. LubbockSportsman.com, you can get your tickets now. It sells out every year. We've got a bigger room, but it was last year, but it was full. I mean, we filled it, so get it done. Be careful out there. Don't burn Texas down. Wildfire burned homes around Possum Kingdom, 5 homes at least were burned, and 300 were evacuated. Residents were apparently allowed to return home today, according to the Forest Service. Fires began yesterday afternoon, Monday afternoon, burned about 500 acres, 10% contained as of this morning, according to the Forest Service. No injuries, thankfully, reported so far. KRBC reported that several fire departments had to respond to a big grass fire on South Saddle Lakes Drive subdivision yesterday afternoon in Abilene, right on the Abilene city limit and Taylor County line. The fire department did a good job while they're busy with that. The Potosi fire on Highway 36 breaks out, and the EULA group did a great job. They got that stopped, and they said, look, it was proactive measures. Taylor County Commissioner came out here with a road grader and cut 20-foot wide fire lines around it to keep it from spreading and made all the difference. Might I remind you folks in the big country and everywhere of one of our official Pride on Texas sponsors on 96.1 FM Q Country, Winters Dozer Service. Hunter and the crew will do this. They'll do your fire cleanup, but they'll also get out there and build these fire breaks and save your pasture and your property and everything else. So get with them at Winters Dozer Service. All right, my friends, we've got a lot of gun-related and self-defense-related talk ahead. Stay with us.
Keep that six shooter at your side. Pride on Texas will be right back after this.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Concealed carry isn't just a statement. It's a lifestyle. Pratt on Texas continues.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, our Lone Star story of the day. While the DPS launches an internal investigation into many of its police officers that responded to the massacre at Uvalde and what they did and didn't do after the big report was out, released on Sunday afternoon. And of course, we covered a lot of it with you yesterday from the House Investigating Committee chaired by Dustin Burroughs. A serious question exists out there, and why are so many hostile to the idea of an effective self-defense of one's life or your family's life or your friends' lives when murderous actions involved, even when they know that when seconds count, police, even effective police, are minutes away? And as we learned, of course, from this report, it's like almost every other shooting that there's been. Police arrived very quickly at Uvalde, but the shooters had expended, well, of all shots made, most all of them were in the first 3 minutes before a single law enforcement person was able to respond. And that's an incredibly fast response time. So, you know, who knows? We're going to talk about it. The Department of Public Safety is investigating how its troopers and rangers responded to the shooting. Texas Tribune pointing out that they were nearly a fourth of the people that showed up there. This is Roland's Democrat Senator Roland Gutierrez has that area, is a loose cannon, wild man. And I do not really honestly, after listening to him for years, do not believe he has much intellect. I don't think he's that sharp. I think he's just one of these people that, well, he's just not that sharp. And he's been trying to roll the blame on everybody. And of course, it was such a catastrophe. I mean, if you read this report, it is just beyond question. And so DPS is doing the right thing. Now, they were there in a support role. They weren't in charge. It wasn't their jurisdiction. There's been a lot of trying to flip it over on them. I don't get all the, well, I get it. It's human nature, finger pointing. But they're going to investigate it. And the Texas Tribune's all with Roland with the state senator, you know, they're trying to, well, they were almost a quarter of the law enforcement there. That's right. 376 law enforcement people showed up. I think it's 23 different agencies. Tons of them had specific training to this. A lot of them had specific training to this stuff. Nobody seemed to apply any of it. I'm working on a column for the Buffalo Gap Roundup News on that that we'll share here on the air and probably will be published elsewhere as well if I actually am not, if I'm able to take the time to send it to people, but I have not finished with that yet. But just look for it in the Buffalo Gap Roundup News print edition coming up in the August edition. Jeez. All right. Now, time is sure flying by, even when you're cooking every day at 100 and something degrees. It's just better not to talk about it. That's it. Don't want to talk about the 100, you know, the frying in the frying pan. It's not pleasant. I remember that 1980 summer, so that's when I said, I don't want a farm, I want a coat and tie and an air-conditioned office. Whew. Anyway, let's talk about this. There are a lot of other smart people talking about this. Today, you know, in other words, leading up to all this and after this, lots of emails from teachers unions upset about they just go ape about, and they always interview the teachers that aren't comfortable with it. And I get it. They're individuals that don't want to take responsibility. I mean, there are people that won't take responsibility for all kinds of things in their life. And I think it's a sin. I actually believe it's a sin that you're unwilling to take responsibility for your lives or your own children or whatever. You say, well, I don't want a gun. I'm afraid of God. I don't want to be. Okay, fine, whatever. But you do realize that's really not much difference than not taking responsibility to buckle them up or put them in a child seat or anything else. I mean, let's just be frank about it. That may make people mad, but these teachers' unions, arming teachers, these Republicans, how crazy they want to arm. But all we learn from this is, one, you can't depend on government. You can't depend on police even when 376 of them show up from 23 or 22 different agencies, and a bunch of them, including the guy on the scene who's your school police chief, actually had the extra alert center training, which is the gold standard in all of this stuff, and didn't apply any of it. And other people there didn't apply, and the teachers themselves did not apply and did not take the security measures in the school seriously. I mean, that's beyond question, their own testimony. So let's just get over it. The teachers are all sacrosanct. We cannot criticize. They're just human beings like everybody else. And there's too darn many of these people who don't want to take personal responsibility for their defense. Well, we shouldn't have to do that. Okay, yeah, I got it. We shouldn't have to. But guess what? Adam brought sin into the world. Well, this is a fallen world. Well, I don't believe all your Christian dogma. Okay, then. Look around you. People kill each other and have been since before we recorded history. It goes on all the time. People steal, they rape, rob, and murder. In every place there is, even in complete prison states like the Soviet Union, they had to have police forces, not for the political police, but because people still rape, rob, and murder. Okay? So it shouldn't be that way, but it is. Now, this shooting in the Indiana Greenwood Park Mall, just north of Indianapolis. Gunman turns out to have been a 20-year-old, and they say he went in the bathroom for a while. Looks like he spent about an hour in there and assembling his rifle. Had another one in there, too. He left it in the bathroom. He had a handgun as well and a bunch of ammunition. He goes in there. They don't really know why, except that he was about to be evicted from something. Maybe he's one of these COVID money people. I don't know. Didn't pay his rent. But anyway, he goes in there Sunday, fires 24 rounds within 2 minutes. The people he killed are Pedro Pineda, 56, and Rosa Miran Rivera de Pineda, 37, and Victor Gomez, 30, all of Indianapolis. A woman and a 12-year-old girl were hit by shrapnel, wounded. Now, they don't like praising this guy, and they're actually columns out all over the country. Don't use the term Good Samaritan. One of us said, blah, 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 blah. About 22-year-old. Elisha, I think he says his name, Elisha Dickin of Seymour, Indiana. He's 22 years old. Remember all this talk about, well, young people, we need to keep him out of the hands of young. He's 22 years old. He's there with his girlfriend and he's armed. And he engaged this gunman and he moved in close on the suspect, motioning for people to get out of the way behind him so they weren't in the line of fire, and he fired 10 rounds. So much for all these bans on, you know, how you don't need many rounds. You need 18 or 20 most of the time in a deal like this. That guy tried to retreat back. The shooter tried to retreat back, the murderer, to the restroom. He finally fell to the ground. It took 10 rounds to get him down. Gun control advocate stunned man who allegedly shot Indiana mall shooter labeled Good Samaritan. That's a headline at Fox News Digital, and there are tons of similar headlines today. The term Good Samaritan came from the Bible passage of a man from Samaria who stopped at the side of the road and helped a man who was injured and ignored, wrote CBS4 traffic anchor Justin Kohler on Twitter Monday. I cannot believe we live in a world where the term can equally apply to someone killing someone. My God. I guess he doesn't understand the whole. First of all, this is very shallow theology. There's a couple more, and they don't understand. The fact is, there was a Jewish man down, and the Samaritans claim the same tradition, but were just despised by the Jews because they're sort of an Orthodox, claiming an older tradition, and they were despised by Jews. And the Jews walked past their fellow Jew, but the Samaritan helped out. And it's about helping, and it's much broader than that. You know, you got liberals out there saying that the Good Samaritan didn't shoot anyone. Jesus wasn't a fan of killing for any reason, including self-defense. Really? And it goes on, calls us ammosexuals. If we read the Bible, we couldn't support the NRA. And you got people saying the Good Samaritan, that why he was a Good Samaritan, because he paid for an unknown immigrant. Get that immigrant healthcare out of pocket. This is their view, even their twisted theology. Well, the mayor there called the man a Good Samaritan, a quick action and heroism. He was. He was absolutely a hero on this stuff, this Dickon. And his attorney said he's a true American hero who saved countless lives. This is the point. He put his life at risk, not his money for healthcare, his life at risk to save the lives of other people. Clearly, he's a Good Samaritan. Clearly, he is a hero. More on this in a moment.
Stay in the saddle. Pratt on Texas will be right back.
Pratt on Texas Listener Club member Tom from Wichita Falls wrote, "I just returned from Costa Rica. I went there on your suggestion and cannot agree with you more. This was the best dental experience ever. I had a good bit of work done and Dr. Zuniga was able to get it all done in one day. The amount of care and attention was unbelievable. From the work itself and the follow-up to make sure everything was great before I went home made this a great experience. While root canals and crowns are not fun, this was the way to do it," Tom says. "Thank you for recommending Dr. Zuniga in Costa Rica. I certainly will be referring friends and family." Friends, you can learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dento Care, my dentist, by the way, by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Go to prattontexas.com. You'll see the banner with Dr. Zuniga's beautiful picture. Click on it, and you can read all about it. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially, even worse with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
A big thank you to USA Investigations, who sponsors our Look at Texas History each day. They provide professional surveillance, witness interviews and statements, and much more, including security. Investigate for more at usainvestigations.net. That's usainvestigations.net.
Pratt believes, school or not, the only thing that'll stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Now, here's a good guy with a gun. Robert Pratt of Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. The Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, all falling out of that the shootings and then the Uvalde report, which demonstrates what's wrong with so much. More on that in coming days. Of this policy that doesn't focus on an effective personal self-defense person by person. But why are so many hostile to the idea of an effective self-defense to murderous action, even when we know that when seconds count, police, even effective police, are minutes away? Our good friend, the great writer at The Spectator World's U.S. edition, Cockburn's column today, the journalist who got it wrong about the good guy with a gun. On Sunday at a mall in Indiana, a mass shooter's rampage was cut short after he was shot by a good guy with a gun. Yet, according to many on the progressive left, the good guy with a gun doesn't exist. He's a myth. Therefore, in honor of the Good Samaritan in Indiana, and I just told you they're throwing a fit over that term, Cockburn presents the top five articles that got it wrong about the good guy with a gun. Time magazine posted a plain rebuttal to the good guy with a gun argument after the Uvalde massacre, which, by the way, if you read that report, it makes the point, even with the police failure, that, you know, they've all tried to spin this as, well, there were good guys with guns, there were 300 and something of them, and they didn't stop the guy. Excuse me. Most of his shooting was done before anyone arrived. I want you to understand that. And that goes to that when seconds count, minutes, police are minutes away. Anybody to come to your aid is minutes away. Time points out fairly that all the good guys with guns who conveniently showed up at the last minute, the Uvalde Police Department, Parkland security guard who hid when the shooting started, all that, but that doesn't prove that citizens need to be able, doesn't that actually prove, he writes, that citizens need to be able to defend themselves? Do you see what I'm talking about? Personal defense. And I don't think people are responsible who don't want that responsibility. They shouldn't be in places. If you're not willing to defend your own life and the lives of people in your charge, particularly small children, where you are parent in absentia, you know, parent, what is that, parentis locus, I forgot the stupid Latin phrase, where you actually are the parent in place of the parent because the law requires you to send your kids to school, I don't think you're responsible enough to hold the job. If you're not willing to take the responsibility to defend their lives, look, that's my personal opinion. There's room for lots of opinion on that. But he's right. Doesn't this prove that we need to be able to defend ourselves effectively? We're talking about a gun. The obligatory religious roots blame shift from the New York Times. It's never a proper mainstream media article unless someone is talking about, quote, religious roots, end quote, or so-and-so religious extremism. Sadly enough, this article at the New York Times only gets the number 4 spot. Cockburn would have put it higher, but they're using paywalls to restrict his access, and there's no way he's paying to read the Times. See, he and I, Cockburn and I, enjoy a similarity. In its own piece, The Conversation, that's a big media outlet, goes the extra mile. Not only do they examine the origin of the phrase good guy with a gun, they also accuse it of racism, diving into how pulp novels helped shape the American consciousness around guns. The point? People are so romanticized, fiction that it led them to embrace it in real life. Sure, the days of gunslingers and gruff sure shots are behind us, but if the criminals are still getting guns, don't regular people need a chance too? Oh, here's another one. Psychology Today. No surprise there. You don't need sneakers to run, but it sure helps. That's right. Psychology Today says you don't need a gun to stop a bad guy. In this fun little takedown, Psychology Today claims that the good guy with a gun claim is clearly and demonstrably false. It can be refuted by a counterexample in which a bad guy with a gun was stopped, by a good woman with a Bible. Christian book in the virtues of faith, hope, and love. The article refers to an instance in which a murderer surrendered after being encouraged by a woman he'd taken hostage to accept God into his life. While Psychology Today lacks any kind of statistical analysis, it has something better, statistical anomalies. And then you go over there to Vox. Their article says a child can't be a good guy with a gun. And Cockburn says, who was arguing they could? Vox thinks Republicans want kids to carry guns. They present with a straight face the hypothetical that children could have used guns to stop the Uvalde shooter. While Cockburn understands the need for responsible gun handling and training, the good people at Vox, there aren't any, need to understand that elementary schools aren't self-chaperoned. There are adults there too. The article goes on to say, it is an ideology embedded in the very idea of gun rights, a vision that armed citizens and not the state represent the ultimate guarantors of freedom and civil peace. Now, before you choke on whatever you were drinking or chewing, Cockburn ends it saying, Cockburn's pretty sure the Constitution guarantees that exact thing. Yes, see, this is the so-called intelligentsia today, who are absolutely, even though they write and have big audiences and write with all this authority, don't even know what they're saying. They're calling saying the whole idea of individual gun rights is a vision that armed citizens and not the state represent the ultimate guarantors of freedom and civil peace. Yeah, that's precisely what the Declaration of Independence says. That's precisely the entire basis of our entire founding documents in our history, that an armed populace is there to prevent tyranny, that indeed the guaranteeing of freedom and civil peace does rest with the individual citizen. And that's why not just the political side, but the personal side of personal responsibility, I have a real problem with people who say they're unwilling. They are unwilling. It'd be one thing to say you're unwilling to have a gun and do that and learn how to use it and defend yourself because you're afraid of guns or don't like it. It'd be one thing if this were just a straw man argument that there is danger in the world. I mean, there is danger in the world. You know, in that real nice shops at River Center down by the Alamo and the Riverwalk today, a woman in her 70s in San Antonio was stabbed multiple times by a woman in her 30s in a restroom. Apparently, there was some little altercation, probably something nothing, that the woman in her 30s apparently attacked and stabbed this woman to death. Family was outside. They realized what was going on. A juvenile pulled out a knife, went in the restroom, stabbed the younger woman multiple times to stop her. She tried to flee, but eventually collapsed. You know, to get this stuff happens. If you're not willing to stand up and protect yourself, the point on this is, you know, without a firearm, you have to put yourself in the position of being killed or being ruined for life by being, you can't stab someone without being close enough for them to stab you. Is that what you want? The firearm is the great equalizer. Whether you're a 70-year-old, whether you're a teacher, whether you're small, big, slow, whatever. It didn't take much to learn how to use it. Why are so many people absolutely opposed, massively and emotionally opposed to self-responsibility against murderous action? Because murderous action predates any societal problems any of you lefties want to pull out and blame it on this, and if we just did this and did that, I mean, come on, forget it. Murder in every society in the world, even the most homogeneous like Japan and others, there's murder everywhere, and the bad guys, by the way, have guns even there, even with incredibly world's strictest gun control, the mafia has them, they have gun crime there. The point is, if you're not, what else are you not responsible for? And I think that's where we really have a big issue. Because in our culture, my grandmothers and everybody weren't the big shooters, but they all had a 410 shotgun or something around and they knew how to use it. I think we just have a culture now where nobody wants to be responsible for anything. Government's supposed to raise them, supposed to pay for everything, supposed to do everything in their lives when they have difficulty. They're supposed to get a free counselor. They're supposed to be let off the hook. They're not supposed to have to attend class. Why? They shouldn't have to worry about making a good grade. No, it's not fair to fail them. Folks, it's at every part of society. And any of you people who work with others like this or have or are employing people know that this is a, well, it may be the absolute end of our society, and that it simply does go back to this idea of no lack of personal responsibility on anything. How else do you explain the idea that people would rather be subject to murder and serious bodily injury than to take self-responsibility with an effective defense?
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
Plan to join me for the 2022 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 27th at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center, sponsored by People's Bank. The Hunter's Banquet and Auction features good times, great food, premium live auction, silent auction, and so many chances to win everything from fine art and luxurious vacation trips to guns, knives, more guns, fishing trips, and hunts nearby and around the world. And did I mention guns? Hunter's Banquet and Auction is Saturday, August 27th. Tickets will be on sale soon at LubbockSportsman.com. Attention, big country property owners. Wildfires are no laughing matter. Have you done all you can to protect your property? Winters Dozer Service is ready to go to work building proper fire breaks to protect your big country property. Some counties may have state assistance available, so get with Winters Dozer Service today. Don't wait until it's too late and see your property up in smoke. Get in touch now by visiting wintersdozerservice.com. That's wintersdozerservice.com.
You gotta stop by before they multiply. Gafford Pest Control.
Have termites? Gafford Pest Control uses the patented Termidor HP injection system. No manual trenching required. For years and years, the proven Termidor system has affordably delivered 100% termite control. Using Termidor HP, Gafford Pest Control can control your termite problem with precise application and no trenching. Take control of your termites. Call Gafford Pest Control, 792-4292.
At Las Brisas, you'll enjoy the highest quality meats, with chicken being all natural and hormone-free, the same for the exclusive Meijer Natural Angus beef, as well as premium Wagyu beef. Fish is flown in fresh several times per week, and premium produce is sourced from top growers with field-to-kitchen traceability and rigorous monitoring at all five stages of production to ensure quality. Enjoy authentic, fresh, superbly delicious meat and seafood at Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse.
And now, a man who finds skulking youth in pullover hoodies far more menacing than citizens with pistols properly holstered in the open. It's firearm-friendly Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. There's a piece out today about Austin, about bodega worker, Jose Alba in New York City, that even though he was attacked and almost killed with a knife by a guy because the guy was mad because his wife's welfare card wouldn't clear to buy a bag of chips, went after him and stabbed him. It was a big deal. It's a huge thing in New York, and they're going to prosecute him. Now, they're not prosecuting criminals. They've got all kinds of violent criminals out who were let out without bail. They gave him huge bail, and it was this idea. Hey, you have no right to defend your own life or your business. That was the message. Now, this is blown up in New York City. And in the state governor's race in New York, Republicans kind of blew the whole issue, the point of this story by Chadwick Moore, and missed the opportunities. But finally, that lefty DA has dropped charges because the public, even the left, has been angry. In other words, when it really comes down to the reality on the streets, people say, wait a minute, this guy was attacked. He had every right to fight back and kill this other guy. Of course, one of the points some people are making is that guy that did it, would be alive today, possibly, if Alba had been able to have a firearm, because he could have just immobilized him with a shot in the leg, which I think is silly. But setting all that aside, even the lefties, when it comes to the reality, a lot of people do understand that there's just a basic right to defend your life. What's interesting is so many of them still, even in that place, there's a lot of people, including people in power, who don't think it's right, who wanted to send the message not to the criminal element, but to the store owner that you don't have a right to defend yourself. And it's just amazing. Charles C.W. Cook had a fabulous piece at, I'm not going to get time today. I've got a whole bunch of data on the city of Austin's homicides. And it fits right in with all of this, where crime really happens and what's going on and how they just don't want to talk about it. And their whole article, by the way, at the Austin American Statesman is that it's about gun violence. But you actually read the article and they actually admit, quote, Austin's steep rise in homicides coincides with the coronavirus pandemic. And then later they quote more about how the lockdowns really led to this crime rate. They go into a lot of nice detail in this great piece, but their focus, they try to fool people who aren't going to read it carefully, that it's all about gun violence on the rise. And it's not. It's really about how the lockdowns were an utter failure. Anyway, C.W. Cook at National Review had a great piece, and Indiana gun controllers missed the point. And he goes over these things that I was kind of telling you about. CNN reporting for the second time in 6 weeks, a concealed carrier's halted a mass shooter in the act. That mall. Police seem pleased. He writes that a lawfully armed 22-year-old man was there. In fact, police department absolutely, even the mall management, praising this guy. Gun control activists, though, were unimpressed. Sarah Reese Jones wrote, Greenwood Park Mall this time, just days after Governor Eric Holcomb's new law that eliminates the license requirement to carry a handgun went into effect on July 1 because Republicans think this country needs more guns and less responsibility. Now, think about that. Responsibility? No, the gun issue is one of responsibility. What are you going to do? Fiat that criminals no longer be criminals because they're going to take responsibility for their lives? Come on. C.W. Cook, Charles writes, in a follow-up tweet, Sarah Reese Jones writes that anyone who replies with good guys with a gun is missing the entire point. But at the risk of disappointing her, I'm going to do exactly that. Really, I'm not sure what alternative is here. Yesterday evening, a Sunday evening, a man who hoped to commit mass murder walked into a mall and started shooting. What, in Sarah Reese Jones' estimation, should ideally have happened next? See, that's where they live in a fantasy world. Well, the shooting shouldn't have happened. I'm sorry, again. Y'all can blame it on every kind of racism or ism or whatever you want, but every society in the world, every country, every village in this world has been plagued with murder, rape, and robbery from the beginning of time. So just set that aside. She says, Reese Jones, he writes that Republicans think this country needs more guns. Some do, yes, but our debate is not at root about that. Our debate is about whether in a country that already has 450 million privately owned guns, law-abiding people should be able to own and carry them. I understand that some Americans wish the U.S. had Japan's gun laws, but the U.S. doesn't have Japan's gun laws. The U.S. is almost certainly never going to have Japan's gun laws. And even if the U.S. were to pass Japan's gun laws, the citizenry of the U.S. would still have 450 million guns in private hands. As the question of abortion moves to state legislatures, it's worth addressing some common arguments against protecting unborn children under the law. You know what? I think that was a line added in here as one of those... It doesn't fit. So let me strike that about abortion. That just printed out, you know, those other headlines insert. Okay, so he says, you're still going to have 450 million guns in private hands. So I'll ask again. A man who wanted to commit mass murder walked in a mall and started shooting. What in Sarah Reese Jones's mind should have happened next? I do not think this is an unfair question. She says this incident happened just days after the governor signed a law that eliminated the license, you know, get constitutional carry. That law and its effective date were also pointed out by Shannon Watts of Moms Demand Action. But this, of course, is entirely irrelevant. Prior to July 1st, Indiana already had a shall issue permitting system. And this guy had a permit. All the new law did was remove the need for eligible carriers to apply for a license. In other words, that law, they just put that in there. They interjected. It has nothing to do with the situation. By the way, the mall in question is a so-called gun-free zone. But in Indiana, gun-free zones do not have the force of law. So it's not a crime to ignore it. They can just ask you to leave. And even though that was their policy, the management there has been smart enough to praise this young man. Says, likewise, the new law has no effect on where and when it's legal for eligible residents to carry firearms. It had no effect on Indiana's existing laws against brandishing rifles inside shopping malls or against murdering people. All it does, the whole purpose, is cut out some of the paperwork, the constitutional carry. Says, I'll ask again. A man who wanted to commit mass murder walked into a mall and started shooting. What in this liberal's mind, or the rest of them either, should have happened next? One can only conclude that the complaint advanced by Reese Jones and Watts at Moms Demand Action are a stand-in for a broader objection, that by moving to permitless carry, Indiana is going in what they consider to be the wrong direction. If so, they should own that and its consequences. Let's assume that instead of abolishing its permitting system, Indiana had moved from a shall-issue permitting system to the type of constricted may-issue system the Supreme Court's just ruled unconstitutional. Clearly, such a change would have had no effect on the shooter, who was not affected, right, by the carry laws in any direction, right? Or for whom Indiana's other laws were irrelevant. This is true for all criminals, folks. They're criminals. They're going to commit murder or something else. The laws, the rules don't matter to them. It just constrains us. He writes, but it may well have had an effect on the hero of the story, who, if a concealed carry had been heavily restricted, would likely not have had a firearm in him in the first place, and who would have therefore sat there waiting for police while a criminal had free reign. Is that what Reese Jones and Watts wish happened? I think it is, personally, but that's my opinion. That so many of America's gun control activists remain so steadfastly opposed to legal concealed carries always baffled me, writes Cook. This is in part because legal concealed carriers are not the problem, and it is in part because America's carry laws do not intersect with America's mass shooting problem, except insofar as those laws occasionally allow someone, a good guy with a gun, to halt a mass shooting. To watch figures such as Sarah Reese Jones and Shannon Watts read a story about a man taking down a killer and move immediately to blaming the laws that made his actions easier, in other words, made the defense of innocent life easier, is astonishing. Oh, there was another attempted mall shooting. Remember, I reported on it in the Galleria in Houston in February. And an off-duty cop who's just a citizen there, he's at work in security, Kendrick Simpo, has finally talked to the media. I have a whole story on this. You know, he knew he could die. He didn't have the right body armor or anything. He went and tackled this guy. It was amazing. It's a great piece out in American Wire News. I may take that with the Austin homicides information and talk more about this tomorrow. If you haven't done so, go read that report on the Robb Elementary shooting. It's very important you read all 70-something pages. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pride on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.